Let's begin in our text, which is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, our Lord reveals to his children, to his people, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the sole giver of life. The children of God that have life are given that life by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said over in John 5:26 that as the Father hath given life in himself, or hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And so Christ is the one who gives life to his people. But our Lord does give pastors and teachers and preachers to declare this truth, to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people, to proclaim the glories of our Lord, to lift up our Lord, to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because the Lord teaches us that when we exalt the Lord, when we exalt him and lift him up before the eyes of the people, that men shall be brought to that hour when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They're going to live. They're going to hear because Christ, the life giver, speaks his voice into their hearts, causing them to hear his voice, his word, and makes them alive. Now, Paul in this epistle, he's been declaring the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ in the salvation of his people. And he now brings out one more glorious truth in our text, that we Gentiles, who are blessed in the same way, or what he's declaring is that we Gentiles are blessed in the same way as the Jews. We are now blessed with the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. In the same way that God is saving the Jews, that's exactly how he's saving the Gentiles. And what that means is we don't need to go under the yoke of the law. The Gentiles do not need to be brought under the yoke of the law as the Jews had been. Instead, we that hear Christ are brought immediately into the presence of our God by his grace and mercy poured out upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive this through faith, through the faith which he gives to his children. So what Paul did by the grace and power of our God, what Paul did was he made sure to preach salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He preached faith in Christ. He preached what Christ accomplishes for his people. And doing so, he actually spoke against the law. When he was exalting Christ and righteousness by Christ alone, he was speaking against the law because he was ensuring that the Gentiles and those that were hearing him had nothing to do with the bondage of the law, that they understood and understood very well that God saves by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of grace. It's all of grace, all right? So he was doing that to make sure that they were not led astray and brought into bondage, because the law does not give life. The law does not give life. The law declares that all men are sinners, and Christ alone, gives life to his people. Christ is the sole life giver. Now, because Paul was given this ministry, and because he was faithful to declare Christ, and in doing so preached against the law, he was hated. and persecuted by the Jews. They hated him and they persecuted him. And so he was given much trouble by them that despised this gospel, despised this word and this ministry that the Lord gave to Paul for his people. So I've titled this message, A Prisoner for Preaching Christ Only. A Prisoner for Preaching Christ Only. Now, I have just two divisions, and the first one is brief. We'll see what Christ accomplishes by his Spirit in his people. The Spirit testifies to you and me that this is salvation, that it's in Christ, and this is exactly what he's done for me. And then we'll look at the further blessings that our Lord would have us to understand, to know that we're all saved under the same grace, in the same way as he accomplishes in the Jews and these early Gentiles. All right, now Paul had just concluded what Christ accomplishes by himself in working salvation. Right? We don't get ourselves saved. It's not things that we do that God looks at and says, all right, they're good enough. I'll bless them with salvation. We don't. We can't save ourselves. Christ alone is the one who accomplishes that gift, that work of salvation in us. All right? He makes us recipients of his grace. He makes us to hear his voice and to receive that grace by his power working in us. Now, here's a taste of those accomplishments. And as we look at them, we'll go through them briefly. They're from Ephesians chapter 2. Take note, does the Spirit testify in your own heart that Christ has given this to you? Has he revealed this in you? Has he accomplished this salvation in your heart? We find over back in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that we are quickened, meaning we are given life. We are raised from the dead, the deadness of our trespasses and sins, whereby we had no life with God. It's Christ that gave us this life. It's Christ that delivered us from the bondage of sin. Our Lord, by his Spirit, he reveals his love toward us in this work. By delivering us from death and giving us life in him, he's revealing to us his great love and mercy toward us. All right? He raises us up to behold our Lord seated on the throne in heavenly places so that we know he's ruling and reigning over all things. He's implementing the will of God in the earth. He's implementing the will of God in our hearts. And we know that any trouble, whatever suffering, whatever it is that we're going through, our Lord is in perfect control. Nothing's out of his control, and all things are working exactly as he purposes to work it. He also gives us to experience the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, to see the kindness of our God toward us through Christ Jesus. And this being received in us is done so by his grace through faith, which is the gift of God. And we come to know and understand that the workmanship, these fruits of righteousness which are born in us, which are worked in us, that which is manifest in our walk is the workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the workmanship of my labors in religion and trying to be as good as I can in my religion. The graces, the fruits that are brought forth in me are a manifest work of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing that work in me by his grace. So these are the spiritual blessings of salvation which are worked in all the saints of God. All God's children are saved one way, in this way, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. He's the giver of life. Okay? Now, we're going to move on and see this further blessings that our Lord has us to understand, what he gives us to understand. Look there at Ephesians 3, verse 1. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause, all right, Paul had been declaring how that our Lord has brought in the Gentiles into this salvation, that he's made them one in his body with the Jews. And he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. The Lord is saying, he would have us take note that for the ministry that God gave to him for the people, for his labors, he was made a prisoner of Jesus Christ. By declaring these truths, by exalting Christ, he was made a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That is, Paul is right now, as he's writing this letter to them, sitting in a prison house in Rome, and that's where he wrote this epistle to send to the Ephesians. All right? Now, why is Paul in prison? Because he was teaching the Gentiles. He's in prison for teaching the Gentiles, for declaring to them the good news of Jesus Christ, for declaring to them the glories and the mercies of God, making known to them what God had given them freely by his grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's guilty of preaching the free grace of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what he's guilty of doing, and that's why he's now in prison. And what we understand is that in the process of declaring that good news, he was tearing down the false ideas, the false refuges of religion. He was tearing them down by exalting Christ and declaring, that's our righteousness. Look to him. Trust him. Believe him. All the other false, vain refuges that man runs to in religion and tries to find comfort, they were all being brought down in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ by Paul. He was speaking against circumcision. He was speaking against circumcision, and the Jews in all their religion boasted in their circumcision. It's what set them apart from all other nations. They trusted in their circumcision. It was their righteousness, their self-righteousness. They gloried in their cutting of the flesh. They gloried in what they did in their flesh. Paul, by preaching Christ, was disregarding the ceremonies of the law. He gave them no weight. He didn't allow the ceremonies of the law to have any impact on our life in the Lord. He made sure not to lay that yoke of the law on the shoulders, on the necks of the Gentiles. He was preaching against it. He was tearing down man's religion. He declared that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Meaning we do not look to the law. We don't gain from the law any righteousness with God. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He is the righteousness of all his people. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Because that's what God does for his people. He reveals faith in them. And that angered the Jews. And it caused them to move against Paul in violence, to take him by force and throw him in prison, to kill him, to destroy him. Because he was tearing down their religion. All right, Ephesians 3, 2 through 4. Let's read that. If ye have heard of the dispensation, the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, to you Gentiles, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God specially chose out Paul God separated Paul to be a witness unto all men, to make known unto all men what God revealed to him as an apostle, and sent him, appointing him to go and preach. All right, that's what Paul was sent to do. Now, back then, especially back then, people who heard Paul, people who were involved or sat under some part of the ministry that Paul had, they wrestled. They wrestled with whether Paul was a true apostle or not. There's not many who doubt whether Paul is an apostle, whether Paul has the authority to say the things that he says in his epistles. But back then, they wrestled against it. There were people that doubted whether Paul was an apostle. Of those doubters, there was Judaizers. There was Judaizers, ones who were Jews and confessed Christ, believing that he is the Messiah that God promised in his word, but they also looked to the law. They thought it was the law plus Christ that was their righteousness. They thought Christ just gave a little more understanding and a little more light on the law, but that they were supposed to keep the law for their righteousness. Christ was not all their righteousness. And when Paul exalted Christ and him only, it was tearing down the false refuge that those Judaizers were trusting in. And many hated him for it. Then there were also Gentile Christians, believers that were Gentiles, but they became infected by the leaven of the doubters from the Judaizers. They heard what the Judaizers were saying and thought, you know, there's a little bit of truth, sounds like, to what you're saying. And so they became infected with that leaven, and it got harder and harder and more difficult for them to hear the gospel of Christ, till their head was so full with leaven that they could not hear what Paul preached. They could not hear the gospel that Paul preached. But you know who doesn't have a problem with whether or not Paul is an apostle and whether or not what he's declaring, that this witness that we have in this word is true of the Lord or not, either then or now? You know who doesn't have a problem with that? Those to whom the Spirit testifies the truth of Christ to us, that he is our life giver, that we have no hope of righteousness apart from him. He only is our salvation. And what he declares in his word is accomplished in his people. That's exactly what he's accomplished to us in us. That's exactly what he gives to us and testifies to us, because that's what he's worked in our hearts. That's what he's worked in our hearts. So the Spirit testifying to us that, yes, I was dead in trespasses and sins. Yes, I was a religious person, and I did religious things and thought they were good, and that God was pleased with me, but now I see that's all hogwash. It's worthless. God wasn't pleased with me for that. If God's pleased with me, it's in Christ. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He gave that to me. He's the one that revealed that to me. And that he reveals that holy God loves me. How do I know that? He sent his own darling son to take upon him flesh, what I am, and he came and fulfilled all the law of God perfectly for me. He bore the suffering, the shame, the beating of his own creation against himself, and endured it gladly for you that now believe, for you whom he's revealed faith in, to know, I didn't save myself, he did. I have no hope of standing before God accepted by him, except that Christ came and gave his life for mine, that my Lord, my God, my Creator, that he came and laid down himself, humbled himself under the mighty hand of God to make a sacrifice of himself, that my sins would be atoned, would be put away by his work. That's love that God did for us. That's love, what he did in his Son. And we see now the Lord ruling and reigning. And we are blessed with understanding as he gives it, as he moves me, impresses me to cry out to him, Lord, help me. I'm sinking down under the weight of my fears, my worries, my own sin. Lord, have mercy upon me. But he gives us to know, don't you fear. The Lord is ruling and reigning over all things. He's not going to let you be swallowed up by your fears and worries and doubts. He's greater than all these things. He is God. And we are given to know that these, what you see, that faith and hope and love which he reveals in me and works in me, it's all his work. It's his grace. It's what he has done in me. I have nothing to glory in. And so we praise and glorify him. We're not boasting of ourselves. We praise and glorify our Savior. And we glory in him because we know that the natural man does not glory in Christ. The natural man is still running to and looking to some shelter, some comfort in religious things, in good works, and thinking that this is what God wants of me so that they can continue doing the filthy rag works religion that they always do and all the other things that they're flesh lusts for with some feeling that God is at peace with them, right? That's what man's trying to do. So Paul now says, regarding what he's testifying to, that as Christ's apostle, he's coming to the Gentiles. He says in verse 5 that in other ages it was not made known unto the sons of men, as it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There were men in the Old Testament, under the old dispensation there, under the law, that declared and spoke of the Messiah. God's people, his true saints, did look to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were expecting that when he came, he and he alone would be the one to save Israel. The true saints in the Old Testament looked to the Messiah. We have examples of that at Christ's birth. There was Anna the prophetess who dwelled in the temple, and she spake glorious things to all those who looked for salvation in Israel. All those who were children of God, they're the Jews, that were looking for God's salvation, she spoke. She looked for that salvation. That's what she declared and believed. And Christ had just been born. God the Spirit revealed that in her heart because that's how all of God's saints are saved. None under the old dispensation were saved by the law. They too were saved looking to the Messiah. Right? Even Simeon did the same thing. He was looking for the salvation of God for his people, the coming Messiah. And so all Old Testament saints are saved the same way we are. Looking to Christ, believing him. All right, now Paul says it is more fully understood by us now through the revelation of Christ to his people. He reveals it by his person. It's his voice that we are made to hear. It's given to us by the Spirit, regenerating us, giving us life, making us born again. Turn over to Luke 24 and we'll see this. Luke 24, and go to verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. And Christ said unto them, he's speaking to his disciples after his resurrection, before he's taken up before them into heaven. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. See that? The Lord is the one who speaks to his people. I spake these unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, having said that and spoke to them all these things when he was with them on the earth, It says in verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." He did it for them. He does it for us. It must be done for us today. We must also be given understanding of the Scriptures to know Him. "And Christ said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Your Lord is saying to those disciples with open understanding, He's revealing to them that He is the salvation of His people, making known to them, this is what you are to say to the people, so that they understand salvation is not in our religious ceremonies. The people were trusting in their religion as Jews, and He's saying, that's not where salvation is. No one's going to find salvation under that refuge. It's a vain, false refuge. Salvation is not in the works of man. Rather, salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ only. Only. Look to Him who suffered. Look to Him who bore the shame for you, His people. Look to Him who alone has the authority to give life. You and me do not have authority to give ourselves life. We don't have that ability. Our Lord, and He only, gives life to whom He will. We preach Him, trusting that in the hour of His choosing, you will hear His voice, and you that hear shall live. You shall live. And then He says in verse 47, that repentance, preach this repentance, turn the people from their dead works that they've been trusting in. Turn them from that. And declare remission or forgiveness of sins. This is what's to be preached in Christ's name, in the name of Christ alone. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, this is what you are witnesses of. I'm making you witnesses of these things. Stop preaching dead letter religion of man. Stop preaching to do these things in religion and God will be pleased with you. Preach Christ. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, because He is the one who opens our understanding and gives us life. He's the life giver. It's His gift to give. Now the Spirit reveals in His people who hear Christ, He gives them a living spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us hope in Him. We stop hoping in those dead works. We're delivered from that and made to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. All other religious things that man naturally looks to and thinks are good, they become worthless to the child of God in whom Christ is revealed, in whom Christ gives life. Things like good works. I think I just need to do some good works and God will smile upon me and He'll warm me with His smile if I just start doing more good things. Some people think it's in attending church regularly. I've been having a rough go of things. Maybe I should start attending church a little more regularly. Maybe I should open up my Bible each day or night. Maybe I need to start praying more regularly and God will hear me and be good to me. They're trusting in religious works. That's not what Christ revealed to His saints, to the apostles, and to us. He reveals life is in Him only. In Him only. What about a religious experience? People teach that you need a powerful religious experience first. And after that, then continue in religious exercises. That's what God wants for you. That's your life. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. The revelation of Christ is our life. When Christ is made precious to you, that when Christ is made known to you that He alone is your life and acceptance with God, that's all the religious experience you need. That's all that the Spirit reveals. He reveals Christ to you. Some people hear that we are to make disciples. We're to make disciples of men. And they get excited about that. Oh, wow, it's so exciting. I'm learning how to be a disciple of Christ. And then they get busy and active in the community and think, that's what God wants for me. No, it's not. He wants Christ in his people. He wants truth in the inward part. He reveals salvation in us by his Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the vain, filthy works of man, which he calls his righteousness, his religion, his hope, it takes on many forms, but it's all made dung unto the child of God. It's made dung to the child of God. When you have Christ, everything else becomes worthless, vain, dead religion. So believers, they are stripped of these things by the Holy Spirit. They're, all that confidence that we had in our religion is removed from us by the Holy Spirit. And through the preaching and teaching of his word, we are comforted, aided, edified, taught, blessed by his Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul made sure that his Gentile hearers understood this, that this is what God does for his children. Philippians 3:3, he said, we are the circumcision. God, his Spirit, is the one who circumcises us in the heart, making us to worship God in the Spirit and to rejoice, not in the joys that come with doing a good religious work. That's not what we rejoice in. Some people think, I was kind to somebody today. And they get excited that God is pleased with that. That's worthless. That's not salvation. Should you be kind? Absolutely. But that isn't our joy. Our joy is looking, is given to us in Christ himself. And just as he says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The Spirit who reveals life in you by the Lord Jesus Christ strips us of vain religion. That happens at the beginning, and it continues to happen as we go through this life and pick up things and pick up ideas and foolishness and pick up idols, even knowing the Lord. The Spirit of God will reveal it to you and remove it from your hand. He'll remove it. He'll keep you looking to Christ. He, once he is your life, he's always your life. You don't go back. You don't go back. He delivers us from going back. We in the flesh may try, but our God is faithful to keep us looking to him. Now, one particular truth that was not well understood by men was the bringing in of the Gentiles to make them one in the same body of salvation with the Jews. Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So that when Paul preached the gospel, and any of us preaching the gospel, we don't lead people through the law. We don't show them Christ and they say, that sounds wonderful. I need that salvation. Hold up. Hold up. Here's this yoke of the law first. Let's practice some religion first to make sure that you really understand how painful it is without Christ. We don't do that. We just preach Christ. And they that have faith revealed in their hearts, looking to him, we welcome them. And we rejoice in our God for giving them that same salvation of life. The Jews, under the Old Testament, they labored under the law. But it was till Christ came. They labored under the law until Christ came. We are told that the scripture concluded all under sin. We don't need to bring the Gentiles under the law because it's already a conclusion. Every man is a sinner and cannot please God by his own righteousness. The Jews couldn't keep the law. The Gentiles aren't going to do any better. There's no point in trying to test them out under the law. all are sinners. But before faith came, he says, we Jews were kept under the law and shut up unto the faith. We were blinded to what God was revealing by his holy prophets, but now is making known to his apostles and prophets by his Spirit. We were blinded to it, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, us Jews, it was our schoolmaster to bring us unto, or until Christ. The law was given until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. So now that Christ has come, what do we need the law for? We're justified by faith, for the just shall live by his faith that God has given him. That's how we live. So no one, no Jew or Gentile, is under the law at all. Under the law at all, ever. If they're Christ, they're not under the law. For after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's true of believing Jews, and it's true of believing Gentiles. Both are in the same body. Both are delivered by God's grace. So that's what Paul was sent to preach, to make excruciatingly clear, perfectly clear, excruciating to the Judaizers, but beautiful and clear to us Gentiles. That's exactly what he was sent to do, and we're thankful for it. Our Lord said in Acts 9:15 that Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And so your Lord, he sends his ministers into the field that he has put them to bear Christ's name before the people there. That's exactly what our Lord does. He sends his ministers into the field to bear witness of Christ. Ephesians 3:7, whereof, he says, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Your God is the giver of gifts unto men, even as he is the giver of life. Only God can do it. Only God gives life, only Christ gives life, and only he gives gifts to whom he will. And so your Lord gives gifts and graces to the pastors that he sends to his flock to minister this gospel in local assemblies. And they'll be given grace for that labor. They will be given grace for that labor. 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. It's given in grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. If a man be sent of God, he's going to preach Christ. He's going to exalt Christ before the people because that's our salvation. That's our hope. He alone is the life giver. And so to Christ we say, be all the glory. We praise him. Amen. I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts, brethren.